Father, thank you that as we think of our own lives, how someone prayed for us and continue to pray for one another. As we look at these scriptures together now, and again, I pray your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and we won't have tough and hardened hearts, but God, tender. For all of us need to hear from you today, Lord, every single one of us. So I pray that we'll have ears to really hear, Lord, what you want to say to us. And then we'll be quick to obey. For we pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Well, today we finish our 40 days of prayer. It's gone pretty quick for me, at least it's gone quickly. But that's not meaning that you stop praying now, right? We're just getting started in the kind of thing of prayer. So hopefully this has kind of kicked you on to get you started in praying, and you'll continue to do that now and spend time in the Word and just enrich your prayer life. Many times God in the Bible promises to answer our prayers. He tells us that he's going to do that. He shares that through many, many scriptures. We've looked at quite a few of them today, during the 40 days. But just remember Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you. Not that I might. Depends what kind of mood I'm in. He says, I will answer you. Now, we've talked about God's answers always the ones that we would like to have. And this morning in our Bible study, we talked a little bit about that once again. You know, the four answers that God may give you. Yes, great. Or no, that's really a bad request. Or he might say, wait. Or he might say, you need to grow first. Remember, we looked at those kinds of things. Because God is not this Santa Claus in the sky who just dispenses all of these things. So we need to understand it as we come into him. In fact, as in the Bible, there are a lot of times when God said no to prayer to some really important, famous people, if you will, from the scriptures. Abraham and Moses and David and Job and Jonah and Peter and Paul and even the Lord Jesus. The Father said no in prayer. So what about it when God says no? You know? And sometimes it's confusing because if God is an all-loving, all-merciful, all-gracious, all-powerful God, why would he, you know, this request be denied? Why is it that it seems that some people receive miracles and others don't? Why is it that when you pray for someone who's sick, sometimes they get better, they get well, but sometimes they don't? Sometimes they get a relief from pain, sometimes they don't. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. How do we deal with that? Well, there's some real obvious reasons why God wouldn't answer every prayer with a yes. One reason is because some prayers conflict with other prayers, all right? So, let's say Laura is praying for cold weather and Marcia's praying for hot weather. Now, how's God going to answer both of those? See, it's not, you know. It's like being up north as a little kid. I would pray for the snow day so we wouldn't have school. And my parents were probably praying, no, let's get him to school, you know. So that's kind of obvious. You understand that. That's you know, it's kind of football games. This group's over here praying for their team to win, and this group's over here praying for their team to win. Now, God can't answer both of them, say yes to both. In fact, I don't think God cares who wins, really. I don't think that's a big deal. I know some of you would take issue with that. Some prayers, but God is pretty easy to see, would not answer with a yes because it takes away someone's free will. And God's just not going to do that. So it's kind of like the person would say, I am praying that God is going to make you marry me. Now, God's not going to force someone to do that. Just like he doesn't force you to always do what's right. Because there's times you don't. I don't. God doesn't force us to do that. Another reason is that praying for someone who's sick to stay alive will not always get a yes, because we're not meant to live on this earth the way it is right now. So God's not always going to say yes. If faith was the only factor, some people would never die. Because I know some people with a lot of faith. And so they'd never die if it was just a matter of faith. But Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed man to die, right? You know, that's going to happen. We're all going to die. Now, I want to live forever, okay? Now, let's not get this mixed up here. I do. I want to live forever, but just not here this way. Not with all the racism and the sin and the sickness and the injustice and the abuse and all the stuff that's going around. Yeah, I want to live forever, but not like this. Because we're all going to die. But many times the answer that comes across, no, is not so easy to just write off. I mean, those were pretty simple. You understand that. But sometimes it just doesn't seem to make sense. It's the tragic. It's that's when our faith, I think, is tested the most. Some years back, some of you will recall this event. Some of you are new to the area, you won't. But we had a fella here who in our church was just a fine guy. His name was Butch Mastenbrook. And I get a call that Butch had been hitting down 27 down south, had pulled over to the left-hand lane to make a left turn. And a truck wasn't paying attention. The light swerved in a car and just ran just flat over his car, killed him. And it was such tragic. You think, God, how is that? How can that happen? It's when you come against those unexpected times of a death in your family or of a loved one. It's something you've been praying for years and years, and it's a longing of your heart, and yet God says no. It's that you don't understand because that request is denied and it just doesn't make sense. And this no is so heartbreaking to us. How do we handle that one? Well, I want to give you just a few reasons why God might say no. And then I want to give you just a few reasons what to do when God says no, because let me tell you, God will say no. There'll be things in your life that God is going to tell you no. There are a lot of reasons why he might say no. I'm going to give you some, but before I do, this is really important. It's a real kind of caution. Only use those reasons that I'm about to give you to comfort yourself. Okay? Never use them for someone else because you don't know what God is doing in their life. So don't come off trying to tell them what God's doing in their life. All right? You're going to make a mess of it. So I want you to understand it. Couple things. First of all, never presume to know why God did something unless he tells you. All right? Don't presume to know it because you don't. Probably the greatest story or explanation about that is Job, isn't it? And here's Job, this very wealthy fella. And in one day, his family gets wiped out. You know, his house gets wiped out. His cattle, his camels, his, you know, everything goes. It's all gone. And it doesn't make any sense. Why would this happen? How could God allow this? If he's a loving and all-powerful God, how could he allow this to happen to me? It doesn't make any sense at all. Everything is taken away. Now, he's got three friends that show up, and the three friends do the right thing at first. You know what they do? They just come and shut up. That's what they do. For 7 days, they just were there. And you know what? When somebody's going through a tragedy or a hard time, one of the best things you can do is just be quiet. Don't try to explain to them why it happened. Just be there with them. Your friend, your neighbor, your loved one, whoever's connected in your circle. Just be quiet. Well, that's what they did. But then they start offering reasons and explanations. And this is why you're in pain. This is why this happened to you, Job. And you know what? They all got it wrong. all of them got it completely wrong. So you get pretty close to the end of the book of Job, Job 42, verse 7. God says this to Job's three friends. I'm angry with you, for you have not been right in what you have said about me. My servant Job is the only one who spoke the truth and got it right. Guys, you didn't get it. You weren't even close. And yet you kept telling Job, well, this is, you've done this or you've done this. You're really on thin ice when you try to explain what God has done when God didn't tell you. So don't sit there and tell somebody, this is what happened, and this is why it happened, because of this. Don't do that. In fact, there's a lot of preachers on TV that will do that, so just turn into them, okay? You remember, a good example of that is, you remember the hurricane Katrina went through New Orleans? You remember how many pastors on the television said, well, the reason this is God's judgment upon New Orleans because it's the city of sin. It's such a horrible place. God has sent his judgment, and that's what God's doing. You know, one of the big problems with that, a couple of them, there's actually several, but one of them is Bourbon Street, which is the worst area for pornography and you know, alcohol, and just the worst part of it, wasn't touched at all in that hurricane because it's the high area. All the rest of it was pretty well wiped out, but not where the most sin was. So it's almost like God missed, you know, if he was really trying to wipe out the sin of the city. It wasn't about that. In fact, here's a great verse to remember. When you start thinking this is God's judgment, okay? He's doing it to this group of people or this, okay. 1 Peter 4:17. The time of judgment will begin first with God's own people, the family of God. Did you catch that? He doesn't say it will start with unbelievers first. I'm pouring out my judgment upon their sin. He said, it starts with us first. So that's how judgment comes. So, with these cautions, keep that in mind, all right, what I've said. Don't be telling people, well, you're sick because you did this. Or, you know, well, you had a flat tire. Yeah, well, because you didn't have your devotions today. Of course you're going to have a flat tire. You know, don't tell them that stuff. That's simple things. But sometimes, and I've been around it, people in the midst of real sorrow, funerals, things like that, and well-meaning believers will come up and say stuff to them, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Just be quiet. And they're trying to tell them why God did this. You don't know. You don't know. So don't act like you do, and don't get in that stuff, all right? Just be there with them. Okay, understand that. Now, why are some reasons that God would say no? Let me just give you three of them. I think they're in your program there. Number one, God says no when he has a bigger perspective, because he has a bigger perspective. You know what's cool? God sees the whole picture, you know? He sees the whole thing, and we don't. God has the wide-angle lens, you know? He sees it all. We're very limited on what we see, very limited in our perspective. In fact is, I would say none of you here can see the future, right? We can't. Hebrews 4:13, he knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to all seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. See, one of the problems is our limited perspective is we don't see the unintended consequences or results because of our decisions. God does. If you could see your life the way God sees it, if you could do that, if you could see it as God does, would your prayers be different? Absolutely. Absolutely. Would it solve a lot of your problems? It sure would. If we could see all like God sees it, you'd never have any unexpected problems come your way because you'd see them coming. You wouldn't have those troubles. You could prepare in advance. You would never ask for anything wrong because you would see it. You see, God has that perspective. But the truth is, when you and I ask God for something, there is no way we can imagine all the things that get put into motion.
How many of you here play dominoes? Play the game of dominoes, like a choo-choo train or something. I forget what it's called. I don't know, some of those things. Okay. Well, I played with some of you at your house, maybe. But I'm not into dominoes too much. But I remember as a kid, I had dominoes. I didn't know anything about them. So we would always stand them up online. Yeah, it was great. And you could make circles, you could make little loops, you could do all kinds of, and then you'd push that first one over. Am I the only one who did that? Some of you are acting like, you know what I'm talking about. And they'll go, in fact, it's on YouTube, there's all people that are like professionals at it. You know, they have all kinds of flags go off and everything. Well, the point is, when God answers your prayer, it sets into motion some consequences or some implications from the result of that prayer. And God knows how that answer is going to affect your family, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your great-great-grandkids. It's kind of like the dominoes that are falling. God sees the answer of that prayer, what it's done, boom, and how it happened. It's bizarre, but that's how God works. He sees that. When I was the kid moving from Ohio down to Florida, not knowing where I was going to be, and most of you guys know my story, and you know, we ended up being in Orlando, and then where in Orlando, and then they showed me I was going to go to Oak Ridge, and I almost cried. It was such a, like Army barracks kind of looking school, and all that kind of stuff didn't make any sense to me at the time, leaving this great high school in Ohio that I was at, state champs and all that stuff, and coming to this school. But I happened to meet a little girl named Marsha Webb at that school. And God knew what the answers were. I didn't have any of that perspective. It didn't make sense to me, but that's God. Because every answered prayer sets off a chain reaction, and God can see ahead. He knows what's down the way. And so sometimes God says no to protect you from unseen problems that you didn't know about. But God said no, because if you go down that road, this is this, 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 this. So no, I'm not going to give that to you. Proverbs 2:8. God guards the course of the just, and he protects the way of his faithful ones. You see what he does there? He guards and he protects. Isn't that neat? Aren't you glad that God does that? Now, that doesn't mean God will always pull you out of the frying pan. But it does mean he'll keep you from getting burned. Okay? That's kind of what's going on here. We're going to start a little mini-series out of Daniel. I guess it's going to start next week, yeah. Just going to do a little bit out of Daniel, probably just the first half of because the way Daniel breaks down in the first six chapters. Anyway. Well, Daniel is older now. Daniel's probably 83, 84 years old. And we'll look at this in more detail down in about a month from now or whenever. But as he's praying, and you know, this whole idea about this lion's den's coming up, and I think, and it talks about how he prayed, and I think one of his prayers was, God, I don't really want to go to the lions. I've seen people go, and I don't want to do that. But Daniel gets tossed to the lions. But God does something greater. He shuts their mouth of the lions. Earlier in the book of Daniel, we'll look at the story as well. The three fellas. And I'm thinking they're saying, we don't really want to go into that furnace. And we know that God can protect us, but we don't really want to have to do it. But if that's okay, we'll go. And God doesn't protect them from it. He sends them into the fiery furnace. They go through it, and all their ropes are burned off, and they walk out. Sometimes you go through the fires. You say, God, I don't want to. And you pray, no, no, no. And God said, I'm not answering that prayer. And you go through the fires, but you come out the other side, and maybe it's free from that habit, or free from that fear, or free from that guilt, or freed from that shame. And it was tough going through it, but when you came through it, whew, the chains fell off. The ropes burned off, you see. That's what happens sometimes. One of Paul's greatest prayers was that he would go to Rome to preach the gospel. Now, I think probably that Paul's idea of going to Rome to preach the gospel was sort of like Billy Graham. We just had his funeral recently. You go and you rent out the Colosseum, and you have all the people come, and he preaches about Jesus. I think that would have been Paul's idea. And God says, no, I'm not going to give that to you, Paul. I am going to send you to Rome in chains. And you're going to hang out in jail in Rome. You're not going to any Colosseum. You're not reaching the masses like that. It's not going to happen. Why? Why would God say no to that? Well, it's interesting because Paul writes at least 4 books of the New Testament from that jail in Rome. That's been studied by millions, not a handful who might have been in that Colosseum that day. You see, God has a better idea. He has a bigger perspective. He knows, and that's what he does. Well, secondly, God says no when he has a better plan. Often, God will fulfill your desire, but in a different way than you would expect. He just simply has a better idea. God knows how to do it. Look at Isaiah 55, start verse 8. God, this plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours, for my ways are higher than yours. Now, did you notice the word there? It's not my way, it's my ways, plural. Did you catch that? Because God has more than one way of doing something. God's not limited like you and I are. He has unlimited options. All kinds of alternatives. He's not forced to answer a prayer one way. In our Bible study this morning, Rick Warren was making a comment about a person that goes into debt, you know? And let's say you go into debt, and it's your own fault. You just blew the money out, whatever. And so you pray, God, help me get out of this debt. Lord, I really need you. Help me get out of this debt. Good. That's a good thing to do, and you ought to be praying. Now, God could do that a lot of different ways, couldn't he? God could increase your income. That would help. God could decrease your expenses so you would spend less, you know, work things out. But the problem is we want it our way, and that's kind of the point he was making, I thought, this morning, a preferred way. We want to prescribe what we need and how that needs to be answered, right? So we want the easiest way to deal with our money. So, God, it would really help me get out of debt if I win the lotto next week. You know? God, that would really, and the fact is, I'll even give 10% to the church. So now I know, God, you're going to give me the right numbers, okay? By the way, if you do hit it, we do take that 10%. That would be just fine. I'm not against it, okay? I'm just, some pastors won't take it. I'll take it. So it'll come to the church. That would be fine. But you know, that's how we want to do it sometimes. We want to do the easy way, and God says, you know what? I want to do it the best way. Because I want to do it the way that will grow you. It'll make a difference in your life. And sometimes the way God grows our faith is a delayed answer. We don't get it right away. In fact, is in the scriptures, many of the heroes with the greatest faith did not get their answer on earth. Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 39. These were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And here's why. God had planned something better. Does anybody know, and you can just call it out, what Hebrews chapter 11 is called? What do we call that? It's a chapter of faith, a hall of faith. It's the faith chapter. These guys are in the hall of faith in the Bible. These are like the faithful guys in Hebrews chapter 11. It's not a matter of having enough faith. Now that ought to smack right in the wake of the health and wealth prosperity gospel. These guys had the faith, the hall of faith in the scriptures, and God didn't give it to them because he's got something better. God has all eternity to fulfill his promises for you and me. He can do it any way that he wants. And looking back in your life, there were times that God said no. And if you think about it hard enough, we were working on this a little bit this morning, Marsh and I. If you think about it hard enough, you can see some reasons to say, well, I'm glad God did say no. I'm glad God did say no. Not when you're going through it, but looking back. Bigger perspective, better plan. Number three, God says no when he has a greater purpose. Psalm 57:2. I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. You know what? God doesn't have to tell you why he says no. He's not obligated to do that. He doesn't have to have your approval or my approval. He doesn't have to check it out with you or with me. Everything God does and allows to happen into our life, he uses for a purpose. Whether that's an unanswered prayer, or I shouldn't say unanswered, it'd be answered with a no, or something else that happens, a problem. You might be in a tight spot right now. You might be having some difficulties. In 1 Peter 1:7, the purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold. Anytime you start feeling discouraged and you're feeling down and things just aren't clicking, remember that God does have a way of working that out for his purpose. He will. Whatever it is, he will. 2 Corinthians 4, start verse 17. These present troubles are quite small and won't last very long, yet they will produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Isn't that great? Now, if you're going to be happy, let me just throw three things at you real quick. There are some things you will not understand until you get to heaven. Just get this down. There's some things you will not understand until you get to heaven. Ecclesiastes 11:5. Just as you'll never understand how the mystery of life forms in a pregnant woman, so you'll never understand the mystery at work and all that God does. But here's the kicker. You don't need an explanation to be happy. You just need the presence of God. That's what you need. In fact, there's so many times people think an explanation will make them feel better, and it really doesn't. I don't have an explanation for why Butch passed away. But even if I had, he was still gone. The hurt's still there, you see. We simply need the presence of God. That's what we need. Secondly, there are some things that will never change until heaven. You know why? Because we live in a permanent broken world. It's broken. It is. If you get your arm cut off today, it's going to be cut off. It's not going to grow back tomorrow. It's gone. There's a brokenness in this world right now, and some things are not going to change until we get to heaven. Number three, sometimes your suffering is for the benefit of others. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. God even allow his son, the Lord Jesus, to suffer for the benefit of others. Why? What is the purpose in having Jesus die like that, God's son? The purpose was for you and I for salvation. You see that? It's a greater purpose. That's why. Okay, we're going to fire these off real quick at you. Well, what do you do when God says no? Those are some ways, and there's a lot of other reasons. But what do you do when God says no? Number one, trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Okay? Psalm 25:10. All the ways of the Lord are loving. Don't stumble over that first word. Because all the ways. Romans 8:28. How many of us quote that, right? Just the one part. In everything, God works for good of those who love him. Now, here's the trick. It happens. Anytime God says no, Satan likes to step in with doubts. And he says, you see, God doesn't really care for you. If he did, you wouldn't be going through that. If God really loved you, he wouldn't be saying no. You wouldn't have those struggles. You wouldn't have those problems. He doesn't love you. And let me tell you what, Satan is a liar. Do not listen to what he says. He is a liar. He's the father of lies. But he'll whisper those. I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it's motivated by love.
I don't understand sometimes why God allows things to happen and answers no to something, but I know that he does it and he loves us. God loves you so much, he's not going to give you everything you ask for. So how do we handle that? Well, some people resist it. They fight God. They get mad. God, if you won't do things my way, I'm not going back to that church again. That's it. I don't care. You're not going to do it my way. If things aren't going, that's it. I quit. I'm not going to follow you. Some people do that. They resist him. Some people just simply resent him. And they become very bitter and they become very miserable. And they even start to doubt God's love in their life. Or you can relax, knowing that God has your best interests and he loves you. I don't always get it, but I know that God does. That's where we put our faith. So when we're in pain, number two, pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. It says in Mark 14, going a little further, Jesus fell to the ground praying that if possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. Jesus prayed, Abba, my Father, all things are possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine, to be done. You see that prayer? Look at three things. First of all, he talks about the power of God. Father, I know you can do everything. Affirm, God, I know in this situation you can do whatever you want. I know you can do anything, God. You're all powerful. You're all sovereign. God, I believe that. And he asks with passion there, you can see that in the text. Father, please give me what I'm asking for. God, this is the heart, my heart's desire. You know that. And then look at the last part, how he accepts God's plan. However, what I want most is your will. God, this is my heart's desire. This is what I want. But ultimately, Lord, God, I want your will to be done. So that's how you handle a no. Third thing. Expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. Grace is God's power to handle pain and to do what's right anyway. Even the Apostle Paul didn't get all his prayers answered, did he? 2 Corinthians 12. Three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. So I gladly boast about my weakness so that Christ's power can flow through me. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So what is it that's 40 days you have prayed for and it hasn't happened yet? What have you been really trying to pray for and yet seems like God's not answered? Well, just remember, God has a bigger perspective. He's protecting you from some things that you don't even know that are down the pike. Remember, he has a better plan. The story is not over yet. And he has a greatest purpose, a greater purpose. And the greater purpose is really he's working on us. He's working on you. And he will give you the grace and the power to handle any situation you find yourself in. Psalm 9:10. Those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you. If you don't trust God when he says no, I don't think you really know him. I don't think you really know who God really is. Because we need to trust him, even when he says no. I'm going to close with a poem written by a guy named Russell Kelfer. It says this: you are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're precious and perfect, unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones he chose. And no matter how you may feel, they're custom designed with God's plan in mind and they bear the master's seal. No, that trauma you faced was not easy. And God wept. It hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. I hope that this 40 days have just got you, whet your appetite for prayer and understand who God is and how much he really, really loves you. And he wants to answer your prayer. He wants to guide your life. He wants to be your loving Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today. And God, this study that we've been able to share together, Lord, it is hard when those answers come no. When those things happen, we just don't understand. But God, we realize that you are a loving God and that we can trust you and that you will strengthen us and encourage us and that you will give us your grace along the way. That we will not listen to the lies of the evil one who whispers doubt and fear. But Lord Jesus, we'll stand strong with you. Thank you that you hear us the very first time we pray. Thank you for that encouragement. And I pray if there's someone here today who's not sure they're even connected with you in a right relationship. They know about you, but they've never had you, invited you, Lord, as their personal Savior. Forgive them of their sin. I pray that today they would do that. And others, Lord Jesus, maybe it's to be baptized, to join this fellowship, whatever. But Lord, let's just be honest and respond to you now as you've spoken to us. And I pray for each person here, Lord, that we'll be encouraged to dive deeper into our time of prayer with you. That, Lord, our relationship will grow greater and sweeter, truly, as the days go by. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.